Aruba, Kenosha, looks just like the ocean. Sheboygan, Racina, ooh, I want...
Racina?
Racina?
Are you making up town names now? That sounds like my aunt's name or something. Racina?
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? I'm trying to do Wisconsin beach towns, you know.
I'll give you an A for effort there and creativity.
I would have accepted a C+ for that one.
So what are we talking about today, guys?
Well, part of the reason I was trying to come up with those lyrics on the fly is because part of our topic today is beaches.
Yes. You know, I'm just going to say it right up front. This is something that a lot of people don't think of Wisconsin for, and they give, I think, pure Michigan gets a little bit more attention for this topic. But I have to wonder if that's because a lot of folks here in Wisconsin just don't know about our beaches. We've got 800 miles of coastline. There's
yeah,
a lot of
we've got
there.
We have two great lakes and the Mississippi River, which has some beaches, and a lot of inland lakes with beaches. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we do not have a shortage of sandy places to play.
No, we are about to blow your mind, people. Whoa. Here we go.
There you go. By the way, I'm Eric Paulson. She's Mariah Haberman. We have Audio Dave and Ellen with us. And this is The Cabin, the official podcast of Discover Wisconsin, brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association. This week, we're featuring Washington County. Now, that's the one. It's just northwest of Milwaukee. West Bend is the county seat and the largest city in the county. In fact, we're talking about that later today in more detail about West Bend. Now, the area was part of Milwaukee County until 1839. It became its own county in 1845. Don't ask me about the 6 years in between. It was named after President George Washington. It is, I did not know this, the fifth smallest county by area in Wisconsin.
Wouldn't guess that.
It's fairly populous. There's more than 100,000 residents there. It's also home to 26 entries on the National Register of Historic Places.
Wow.
Some are in West Bend, but certainly not all. Race fans know it for Slinger Speedway. Has a lot of Kettle Moraines area in it. And really, everything from Germantown up through Kewaskum and more, there's just a lot of great places to see and a lot of great things to do in Washington County.
I have to wonder what did happen in those 6 years, now that you've mentioned it.
It didn't come up in my research.
They just got out from ownership of the other county and tried to do their own thing and
probably a collection
got caught
of townships
up in bureaucracy or what?
Yeah, they just didn't... fully finish organizing their county. You know, sometimes it takes a while.
Great things
paperwork,
take time.
Paperwork, stuff like that. You know, they wrote in calligraphy back then. It took a while to write out the documents.
Fair enough.
We mentioned this last week when we were talking about Sheboygan, but Wisconsin actually has a few surf cities and more than a few beaches that beg the question, Malibu or Wisconsin? We're jumping right into the deep end today to talk about some of our favorite summer beach destinations across the state. And I see on the forecast it's about to be 80 degrees this weekend. Well, as we're recording this is the first 80 degree weekend I'm seeing on the forecast. So I feel like this is perfect timing.
Yeah, I wish the water would catch up as fast.
Ugh, I know. That's worse.
Yeah. Well, I think, Mariah, you and I each have a beach in Sheboygan County. I'll go city. You go county, so why don't we do this? I will mention North Beach and South Beach in Sheboygan, which are really on either side of downtown Sheboygan, which are really cool places. They're kind of like the mini versions. I live in Milwaukee, and they're kind of like Milwaukee-esque beaches, where North Beach, which is just east and north of downtown, you've got a nice little drive that you can make along the coastline, and it gets you back up to some neighborhoods on the north end, just like in Milwaukee. And there's actually a really cool old shipwreck on the sand in a park at North Beach that you can actually, like the original wood, like the way the ship would have been is like laying on the beach and part of the sides of the ship kind of curve upward and you can walk around and through it and it's really cool.
Wow.
But aside from that, there's a lot of great beach area. They do the volleyball and have a lot of fun there. And then South Beach, and Mariah, you and I, we filmed there actually in one of our Sheboygan episodes. That is a great beach just south of downtown Sheboygan.
When we had our mini-me's?
When we had our mini-me's, that's right.
What?
Have you guys seen this episode? Segments?
Oh, I will not. Those are going to be what, some of the more unforgettable shoots in my time.
That was a lot of fun.
This was before your time, Audio Dave, but we had a kid-friendly episode of Sheboygan, and the producer decided to cast an Eric mini-me and a Mariah mini-me.
Mariah mini-me looked so much like you, too. It was crazy.
She had red hair. Yes. And they were actually, they were brother and sister. The mini-me's were.
In real life. Yeah.
In real life. And it was just a very fun episode.
I don't think I've seen that one. I'm going to have to check it out.
So we're running around in the super hot sand. But, you know, it's a great beach for windsurfing and laying out. Just really sandy. Because not all the beaches, you know, the coastlines in Wisconsin aren't all really sandy. This is a really nice big sandy beach and right by downtown.
I want to emphasize this big because a lot of the beaches in Wisconsin, at least the ones on my list, are not necessarily the biggest beaches ever, but they're unique in different ways. But the beaches in Sheboygan are, I mean, there can be a pretty big group of people there and they're spread out and you've got a decent amount of room there. I thought
they're expansive. And yes, you can practice social distancing there. Mm-hmm. And still have plenty of places to be.
Very That's nice.
Important. Yeah, I want to keep it in Sheboygan County because that county really, I was just thinking, like, I don't know that we've talked that much about Sheboygan County on this podcast so far. And it is a stunning county. I don't think it gets a lot of credit. I know for the golf courses it does, but it's pretty beyond the golf opportunities. And actually, one of my favorite state parks is in Sheboygan County. It's Kohler Andre State Park, arguably one of the most popular state parks in Wisconsin. Definitely one of the most unique. I actually think that Kohler Andre is Wisconsin's most visually interesting state park. It meanders along these boardwalks and has these stunning sand dunes everywhere. And this is actually why I wanted to include it, because there's a beach there at Kohler Andre State Park, and the sand there is so perfect. That is one thing I'll say, is sometimes some of the beaches in Wisconsin have a little bit of a reputation for having grittier sand, sometimes rockier sand. Mm-hmm. The sand at Kohler Andre is perfect. Like, it's the softest sand ever.
You feel like you're in California when you're at Kohler Andre Beach. With the sand dunes and the walkways through there and with all that wonderful sand and the way the lake is right there, there's sand bars not too far out in the water. So if you go in the water, you don't have to go very far out. You can stand out there. And that kicks up waves and those will carry you back in. That is a fantastic beach in a great state park.
Yeah, it really is. I took my dogs there. We had a grand old time last summer. And according to my research, there are about 150 bird species at Kohler Andre State Park and at Kohler Andre State Park Beach. So if you're a birder, another reason to check out that beach.
Or if you want to dodge what they drop, be careful.
Watch where you step.
But that's true of any beach, of any park, anywhere. So that's fine. I'm going to keep it on the Lake Michigan side. And I know we are for a little while here. And I'm going to name another beach. I'm not going in order on our list here, Mariah. So heads up. But I'm going to go to another North Beach, and that's in Racine.
Good choice.
Which is just north of downtown Racine, amazingly enough.
Racina.
Racina.
I'm sorry, just north of downtown Racina. They're going to get mad at me now, aren't they?
Yeah.
But that is a fantastic. That is a fantastic beach because it is so highly rated. It makes national lists of some of the top urban beaches in the country for its environmental friendliness, for its cleanliness. It's also a very large beach, very wide, very long along the coast. And they've had like the EVP Pro Beach Volleyball Tours there. They've hosted so many events there. And it's right by the marina, so there's just a lot of fun activity. And that is really a great beach. It's worth the drive to go to Racine and check out North Beach on a nice hot summer day.
It's a good one. It's also been featured on Discover Wisconsin.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take us to Schoolhouse Beach on Washington Island.
Ooh, is this like Schoolhouse Rock?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Actually, it kind of is. Because there's something unique about this beach.
There is something very unique about this beach. So Washington Island.
Inspiration.
Maybe. Washington Island is right off of Door County in Lake Michigan. So it's just a ferry ride across from the very end, the very tip of Door County Peninsula. What Schoolhouse Beach is known for are these beautiful, smooth limestone, they call them pebbles, but they're bigger than pebbles.
They're
actual
rocks.
Yeah. And the beach is also very well known for its clear water. I mean, you can see these stunning pebbles on the bottom. It does remind me a little bit of all the iconic photos you see of Glacier National Park with those pretty colored, smooth rocks on the bottom of the lakes there. It's just probably the most unique, I'd say one of the most unique beaches on our list here just because of those rocks. Now, do not even think about stealing one of those precious stones. This always gets brought up because stealing, and I know there's, I think if I recall, there are signs everywhere saying that if you do and you get caught, you can get a $250 fine. So you've been warned. But because of the clear water, snorkeling and diving are pretty popular activities here. So if you want to get in the water and you don't care as much about the soft sand on the beach, you are up for seeing some really cool rocks. This is a really interesting beach worth checking out.
Well, and you know, it's funny, Mariah, because we're playing up the sand at some of these beaches. And in this case, we play up the rocks at this one.
Yeah, the geologist in you will be all about it.
And one cool thing, we filmed there one time when I was doing the drive-in episode when I was at the LB on Washington Island. Remember you showed up? Yeah.
I did.
It's almost as if it was spontaneous. Not really. But one thing I did see there, and I don't know if it's still there, this was a couple years ago, they still have a payphone at Schoolhouse Beach.
Really?
So if you want to give the kids a good history lesson along with geology, you can take them there.
The 25 cents for a call?
I don't know. I wonder if it works. I don't think it worked. Just the fact that it was there, we were all gawking at it. How times change, right? I'll give you another beach. We'll head back to the big city, and I'll give you the granddaddy in Milwaukee, Bradford Beach, which is that's a pretty expansive beach, too. It's really, it had a time where it had a reputation for being a little more, I don't want to say trashy, but it was considered not very clean because the treatment plant was just north of it, and they were having some issues with alewives and some of the other things. But they really did a good job cleaning up that beach about 15, 20 years ago. And now it's a showplace kind of beach. You bring friends from L.A., to Bradford Beach in Milwaukee in the summer, and they think they're home. And there's so much going on. There's tiki huts and volleyball tournaments going on everywhere. Plenty of lifeguards. They have a really cool boathouse that was built in the 40s, actually, where they have a concession stand and all that. And it is really a fantastic beach and a great time when you go there. It's right along Lincoln Memorial Drive, right under the bluffs in Milwaukee. And it really is the kind of beach that's also very much worth the trip. And Lake Michigan's beautiful right there. And you kind of get the view of the city when you're there, too, because it's only about maybe 2 miles north of downtown. And you get the whole view of Milwaukee Bay. The waves there are really cool. And you can rent jet skis. You can rent kites. You can rent all kinds of things at Bradford Beach. And then McKinley Beach, which is right down along. And it's kind of one long continuous strip. Tons of recreational opportunities, food and drink stands, and a lot of great activities. So I highly recommend checking out Bradford Beach. If you haven't seen it in the last 10, 15 years, it's definitely something to check out.
I think it's probably been a good 10 years since I've been there.
They've done a lot of cool things there.
Really?
And it's really clean and it's really nice. And it's one of the ones I highly recommend.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to take us up to Lake Superior to Julian Bay Singing Sands on Stockton Island. Now, I know I brought this up in episode 8, which was about the islands of Wisconsin, but I think it's worth resurfacing here for our beach episode just because it really is. It's not just one of the most unique beaches in Wisconsin. It's considered to be one of the most unique beaches in the world. Now, Julian Bay Singing Sands are located on the eastern side of the island, and Stockton Island is one of the 22 Apostle Islands. It's one of the more popular islands in terms of visitors. Most people go to Madeline Island, which I'm sure you've heard us talk about on this podcast. But Stockton Island is also pretty popular of the 22.
But you can't drive to it.
No, you cannot drive. Yeah. So in terms of the Singing Sands part of it, they actually do make noises as you walk on it. And that's how it actually works. So due to the unique shape of the sand granules themselves, the sand actually does sing when you walk on it with bare feet. And we got footage of this actually in our, I think a couple of our episodes, but the one that's coming to mind is we did one on the Apostle Islands. You can look that up on YouTube. But I find that this is one beach that a lot of Wisconsinites haven't even heard of. It definitely flies under the radar for some reason. I think Madeline Island gets a lot of the popularity and love when it comes to that area of Wisconsin. And if you don't know, Apostle Islands are, I mean, literally you go to the northernmost tip of Wisconsin in Bayfield, take a ferry to get to the Apostle Islands. What I also love about Julian Bay Singing Sands is the water here is so clear, you can actually see a shipwreck 25 feet below surface. That's insane.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. And it's very popular for folks who love to go hiking and do a little bit of wildlife viewing. So you can expect to see birds and deer on the island and the occasional black bear. So I know there's not black bear. I think it actually may be one of the only islands, if not the only island. I might be wrong on this. I think Stockton Island is the only Apostle Island with a black bear population.
Wow.
Yeah.
So watch Ellen, it if you bring sandwiches or something.
Yeah.
Fact check me on that. But I'm pretty sure. Yes, definitely, obviously, prepare safely and be aware of your surroundings. And I know I've mentioned this before, but we're talking about beaches and especially ones that are on Lake Michigan and Lake Superior. So obviously, think about safety in general. Wear a life jacket. Watch the kiddos. Be careful because, you know, things can get a little crazy pretty quickly.
Do the bears swim there or walk over the ice in the winter?
Oh, now you're asking me some like scientific questions.
We can research that later.
I'm pretty sure they can swim.
I would think they swim over there.
Pretty sure I've been on a canoe trip and passed a swimming black bear.
I have an update.
Wait, what?
Stockton Island has one of the highest concentrations of black bears in North America.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun. Just so you
That's
know.
That's so cool. Mm. So we just have to find out if they like hibernate there. Like they stay there year round or they kind of move around.
Sounds like a good open for next week. I don't know.
Yeah, sounds like Dr. Haberman should get on the case.
I'm on it. But anyway, that is Julian Bay Singing Sands again on Stockton Island, one of the 22 Apostle Islands in Lake Superior.
Well, well.
I hate to detract us, but
I love detractions.
I looked into a little bit of the science behind. I hate to get us off topic.
Okay.
But I did some digging into the science of that singing sands, and it's pretty fascinating that there's not really a right answer. There's a lot of different theories of why it makes that sound, and I found myself looking at videos of the Great Sand Dunes in Colorado, and that's the same kind of phenomenon, but on a whole different level.
Really? That
you can basically, these dunes will create these essentially avalanches or something, and it just has this low, like it almost sounds like a very cinematic, like wah kind
really?
Of like who's the director of those Michael really
Bay.
Epic yes
oh really
like a yeah
I'm
it sounds like a Michael
myself.
It sounds like a Michael Bay kind of sound effect that just like resonates through these dunes, and it's the same kind of thing.
So
you don't have that on a hotkey?
I tried to call it a hidden gem. Yeah. You know, if you're there and you can uncover it, you might find yourself listening to a hidden gem. But yeah, it's just crazy. And
so
some of the theories,
it has nothing to do with the bare feet. That's a different theory, is what you're saying?
Well, some people say that it has to do with the granules being very round and uniform, and that way they can kind of slide across each other.
Oh.
Others I saw mentioned that there has to be some kind of sand coating over the granules, kind of like rosin on a violin bow.
Hmm.
But yeah,
that's
there's
so crazy.
In the 15 minutes that I spent researching, I didn't see anything concrete.
I mean, regardless of, you know, what theory is the correct theory, it is so fascinating.
Yeah.
In my research, I had read that supposedly 10 to 20% of all beaches in the world have this effect.
Oh, really?
I know, which seemed really high to me.
Hmm.
I just feel like I would have learned this before. The only beach I know of in Wisconsin where you can hear the sand. It's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you both, Dr. Dave and Dr. Haberman.
You're so welcome. We're here for you.
Except Bradford Beach, they usually have music playing and you can't hear it anyway. So,
yeah.
You know. Let's go to the West Coast because there is actually a beach in La Crosse, which a lot of people wouldn't think of. There's actually a couple beaches.
Whoa.
The one I'm talking about is Pettibone Beach. Have you been there, Ellen?
Of course, as a UW La Crosse grad. I mean, Pettibone Beach, come on, those first couple weeks before the semester starts. Perfect beach weather right around finals week. I mean, you go to Pettibone Beach and it's just crawling with college students. very fun place. Great place.
And you can see downtown La Crosse from there. Right? It's kind of right across, and the bridges over the Mississippi and the riverboats going up and down. And it's not a huge beach, but it's big enough, right, Ellen?
Yeah, definitely big enough. Definitely big enough for the college population. And when all of the college students aren't crawling all over this beach, it's a great place for families and other people.
So timing, of course, matters. But that's a good... And people don't think about beaches along rivers very often, and particularly the Mississippi, but that's a really cool stop and just part of some of the fun things to do in La Crosse. So I figured I'd give it a shout out.
I agree.
And I'm going to take us back to the Apostle Islands just because I could not leave this one off of our list, which is Big Bay Beach at Town Park, which is on Madeleine Island, which again, one of the 22 Apostle Islands and the most popular, the only one where they've got a year-round population. So here, again, you head to Wisconsin's most northerly point, take a ferry ride from Bayfield over to Madeleine Island. Then you head to Big Bay Beach Town Park. You're going to go down a pretty steep flight of stairs at Town Park, which leads you to this boardwalk, which overlooks this really cool lagoon.
Oh, so cool looking.
Yeah. And then the boardwalk leads you to the actual beach. And here you're going to see, on a sunny day anyway, lots of kayakers, canoers, stand-up paddle boarders. This is honestly it might be my favorite beach in Wisconsin just because I just love the vibe there. It's never been overpopulated, at least the times that I've been there. I like that it's not too far from Tom's Burned Down Cafe if you want to go get a tropical drink. And fun fact, this is where we once dropped our camera into the water while we were filming my on-cam in a kayak. People will ask if we've ever had mishaps while filming. Of course, there's tons of mishaps. And I watched our camera guys in a kayak together fall into the water. And the camera was completely, we had to put it in rice. And then this was my first season with the show. And they had me do an on-cam where I had to say Big Bay Beach Town Park. And I could not say those five words in the right order for the life of me. Now I can. I've never forgotten it. Big Bay Beach Town Park. But I kind of want to see the outtakes of that first season of that particular episode because I remember them getting very frustrated with my inability to memorize those five words.
Been there, done that too. Actually,
so. And that's a good beach for rock skipping as well. Is that the beach we were at?
I forgot. Yeah, we went back there when we had some time. We were shooting up in Ashland, I think, right? Yeah. And then, like, there were five or six of us. We went to Tom's Burned Down Cafe, and then we checked out the beach there at Big Bay Town Park Beach. And we all skipped rocks. And actually, in my office, I have this really cool photo of you guys all looking out at the water. Mm-hmm. And this is just a kind of random thought, but, like, I don't feel like Wisconsin's beaches get enough credit for how – hopefully this doesn't incite, like, laughs or eye rolls. But – how ocean-like some of the views are. I mean, when you get on Lake Michigan and Lake Superior, there are times where I look out and I'm like, this could be, like, it looks like an ocean to me. It's so, so beautiful. And I don't think our beaches get enough love for that reason, in my humble opinion.
Well, you bring friends in from the coast. They can't believe those are lakes. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not little ponds.
The criteria is you can't see the other side. And,
there's no sharks. So it's like, what's not to love? You have no sharks, a beautiful ocean-like view, best of both worlds, in my opinion. There you go.
Never bring your dog named Shark to the beach. Let's put it that way. Three last shout-outs on Lake Michigan, Atwater Beach in Sherwood, Grant Park Beach in South Milwaukee, great beaches. And then up in Two Rivers, Neshota Park Beach. We film there. They have a great kite festival every year, or most years. I don't know about this year. And just there's so many great places to check out, and we'll be writing about them too. So,
and I'll throw in Egg Harbor Beach in Door County because, you know, it's not, we didn't do a ton of Door County shout outs in our beach segment. The Cabin is sponsored in part by Group Health Trust. And today we're talking about a new blog post on The Bobber that talks about the dangers of distracted driving. This is such an important topic. It's written by David Pabst, the current director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety here in Wisconsin. In his article, he outlines the ways you can minimize the chances you're in an accident caused by distracted driving. And he gives tips that will not only keep you safe, but keep others safe while you're on the road. I, for one, I just ordered a pair of rollerblades, and I've been rollerblading. That's been my quarantine hobby. And I have to be honest, I think about that more and more when I'm out, like, biking and rollerblading, like, how many people are distracted, because it's just a little scarier now when you're a pedestrian out there. So it is a topic that I don't know. I think it's one of the most important topics that you can even be talking about in terms of people's safety. So make sure you head on over to the official Discover Wisconsin blog at bobber.discoverwisconsin.com to check it out. And thank you so much to David Pabst for writing.
I always get good neck exercise. Grooving along to that. Well, we mentioned West Bend when we were talking about Washington County. Thank you very much for that, Ellen. Made it very convenient. So it's a new episode of Discover Wisconsin coming out, and we're joined today by our special guest. Yes, we have guests again, Mariah.
Yay! Cool,
guest!
Andrew Natvig, one of our videographers from this episode. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well.
Welcome long back to Wisconsin, no by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
I don't know how long you've been back, but Andrew films one of our sister shows called Boondock Nation, so you've spent months, right, out in Idaho? Yeah.
It was Idaho, so it was about 3 months, and then I came back with everything, you know, with how the world is so crazy right now. But then I was just back there last week for 5 days for one last shoot.
Wow.
But it's going to be nice.
The shoot looked cool, by the way, based on the photos I saw on the Instagram.
It was fun. It was really sandy, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not we talked a lot about cameras. Sand in this episode.
A perfect episode for you to join us for, then.
Perfect.
We were talking about beaches earlier. But prior to you heading out to Idaho, you spent several months with us filming Discover Wisconsin. So, and one of those shows was our West Bend episode.
Yes, which the feels seat of like Washington County.
Forever ago. Doesn't it feel like?
Oh, it feels like almost more than a year ago, kind of.
No, it's crazy. Okay, well, let's talk about West Bend. What, like, I know there was a ton of stuff we did in that show, but out of curiosity, let's just kick this off with, is there anything that, like, really stands out in your mind in terms of the shoots or the people we met or the specific places we went while filming in West Bend?
Well, honestly, Greg from Tochi Ramen kind of sticks out to me.
Yeah.
That shoot was just a lot of fun. That place had a great vibe to it, kind of with the whole pop punk music. And just the aesthetic was really cool. Yeah, that was a great shoot.
It was a delicious shoot. It was very good.
It was. And I mean, even the farmer's market was really cool, you know, because we went to, I think it was Candyman and then also the Laughing Mountain.
Oh, yeah. So we did popcorn. If I recall correctly, we did the farmer's market in the morning. It was obviously a Saturday morning. And then we went to Candyman on Main, which was obviously a candy store, and a really cool popcorn shop called Laughing Mountain Gourmet Popcorn, both of which were on their like main drag right there in West Bend. That was, we did a lot of eating that day, I feel like.
They sent us home day. With a lot of goodie bags too, which was really nice
they
of them.
They did. And
yeah, you got some of that Packer Pop? What was that? What flavor
Andrew,
was that?
Andrew, did you get pop? Did you get Packer Pop?
I did not. I don't know if you want me to touch on that. I will refrain from saying why.
One, okay, three or four of us are Packers fans. I'll just leave it at that.
Ooh.
We still love you. But I will let our listeners know that the Packers Pop was delicious. I loved it.
What kind of flavors was that?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Beer and brat flavor?
No.
Just tasted like victory?
It was obviously green and gold popcorn. And my gosh, I'd have to zoom in on the episode to figure out what was in the ingredients. But
does it taste like the tears of Vikings and Bears fans?
Yes. Oh, yes, yikes. That's what it tasted like.
Yeah. That's why it's so sweet.
A little salty at times, too, though, depending on the time of year.
I love it. Where else did we go? We featured a few events, right?
Yeah. One of the events that I was on production for was the Homegrown Music Festival. Mm. And that was really cool. There was a bunch of live music, and they actually had their own beer that they had brewed for the festival called the Homegrown Ale.
That's cool.
And I know our main contact for that shoot kept bringing us beer even while we were filming. So that was very nice of him.
It's a very helpful client contact for sure.
And they do have a local brewery there, Riverside Brewery and Restaurant, which has been there a while. That's the craft brewery in West Bend. So.
Is that who made the beer?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, question mark.
But it is.
You know the event that stands out in my mind? I don't know if you filmed this one, Andrew, if it was Teddy and crew, but there was an event that's in the very end of this West Bend episode called the Dirty Ninja Mud Run. And it was so
well, you don't see anybody going through it?
Yeah, you do. It was so dramatic. in that. Basically, it was like a mud run for all these children. And I didn't have much of a role there besides just being there in the audience as you guys were. Were you there, Andrea? Was this one of your shoots or no? Did you do a different one? Okay.
I was not.
Okay. So it must have been, I think, Teddy and, oh, Brandon was there. And we're filming with all these kids. And there were kids crying on one side. There were kids, both tears of joy and tears of like, I lost the race.
Oh, no.
It was just very entertaining. And then at the very end, there's this giant mud pit, and these kids were doing like front tucks into the mud pit.
Like, it was, wow.
I know. It was really, I'm like, man, I am so inspired right now. And then I got to interview a few of the kids after, and I just freaking love interviewing kids for Discover Wisconsin because they're so candid and they just have the best sound bites ever. So that was an event in West Bend that really, and the park there. The park in West Bend is so big, first of all, and they host a ton of events. It's called Regner Park. So I think we actually went back to Regner quite a few times in the episode,
if
I recall.
They do a lot there.
They do. Yeah, it's a really beautiful park. So yeah, we did feature a number of events in the episode, which was really fun.
Yeah, that mud run looked like a very fun and chaotic day.
It was. I'll just say there were a lot of emotions, mostly very happy emotions. As with any race, I imagine, you know, you cross that finish line and it's like the tears start pouring down.
Yeah, they're a little muddy, but.
Oh, what about, let's talk about the Museum of Wisconsin Art. Have any of you guys been there?
I have. It's a very cool museum, modern art looking building, and a nice variety of art inside. It's right across the Milwaukee River from the main part of downtown West Bend. Very walkable area. Some really cool pathways through there. And you get a real sense, even in the parking lot, there's some cool art that, you know, metal stuff that kids can actually kind of interact with a little bit and climb around. But inside, just different sections show you different styles of art. And they have some great exhibits there. It's really one of the better art museums in the state, in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh. I was so impressed. So I'll be honest, when I was told I was going to go on this art museum shoot, I thought, okay, great. We've done we've done some art exhibits and things of that nature. But I don't know that I've ever been more impressed with an art destination like I was at this museum. I just couldn't believe it was right in West Bend. I loved that it featured, obviously, as the name implies, modern art from Wisconsin artists, modern and past artists as well. And just hearing the stories of how they acquired the art in the first place, some of which have been at some major national and worldwide museums, was just really inspiring. I'd also say from a stylistic kind of shoot perspective, it was one of the more interesting shoots. I thought the shots that you guys got were awesome and just interesting. Sometimes it can be difficult to make an interior location like that look fun and interesting, but I thought you guys just killed it in terms of the cinematography. It was really, really beautiful.
Well, the design of the building is really cool too, because it kind of tapers to a point on the north end. And I've been outside the museum and gotten some dramatic pictures looking toward the sky with the edge of that building. It almost looks like an approaching ship at one point. And you can really, there's a lot of cool, if you love architecture or art in general, it's a really cool stop.
And there's one I would definitely recommend. If you're going to go, look for a piece by Carl von Maur. I posted it on my Instagram when we visited last year. It's, first of all, my photo doesn't do it justice because I'm in the photo and you can see me next to the portrait and it is freaking huge. It's ginormous. And when you're standing there next to this iconic piece of art, it's kind of like you just can't really wrap your head around it. And evidently when he released it in around 1890, it was the equivalent of like a modern day blockbuster film. Like everyone came around to see this piece of art. Can you imagine living in a time where art was that appreciated that people just came all over just to sit and view this beautiful piece of work? I mean, that was really cool to learn about. And he was 31 when he finished the piece.
Wow. We didn't have Instagram back then, you know?
Nope. But I'm here to keep his legacy.
I had to go see it.
I'm here to keep his legacy alive, Carl von Maur.
Andrew, speaking of that segment, I was actually going to ask you from a cinematography standpoint. I know you're so used to shooting the Boondock Nation stuff, and that's all very action and movement oriented. Do you enjoy the challenge of filming places where it's just still art and trying to make that seem interesting and dynamic? Or what goes through your head in a place like that?
That is a great question. So I was not on the shoot where we did interior.
Oh, okay.
But I guess, you know, if I was on it, it's definitely completely different. You got to kind of think of how you can add motion to, you know, just an art piece that there isn't really any movement involved. So it's like, how can we spice it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, that's always been something that just fascinates me. Obviously, knowing nothing about camera work or anything, my brain is all audio. Anytime I see stuff like that, I am very impressed at how you guys come up with these like creative moving shots and stuff.
Oh, we couldn't get Brian Moseni and our producer out of that place. The ideas were rolling, and you know, I think all of us feel this obligation to do each of these destinations justice on the show. You know, every time we interview any of these executive directors or owners of these specific attractions, they are so passionate about what they do, and we feel a responsibility to bring that passion to our viewers. And I thought the whole team really killed it. It's a really cool, I mean, the whole episode is, I'll admit, I knew very little about West Bend. I remember doing an interview with the reporter last season about that area, and she asked me, what do you know? And I was like, honestly, this is the first time I've ever done a show in West Bend, and I'm here to learn because I don't know a lot about the area. So I hope that our viewers are enlightened by what we put together for them.
Well, it is a cool town. I mean, it has a great history. They used to make a lot of appliances there, you know, West Bend coffee makers and Regalware and things like that. And it's right along the same Milwaukee River that goes into downtown Milwaukee. So if you wanted to kayak your way between the two cities, you could. I suggest downstream, by the way. And the downtown area has a really cool kind of a cordoned off. The original Main Street through there is now just very narrow for cars. It's designed more to be pedestrian friendly, although you can drive through there and park right in front of the shops and the movie theater. So there's a lot of cool things right in the downtown area along the river and a lot of pleasant areas. In fact, just north on north side of West Bend, there's a lot of big hills and parkways, and you can get a really nice view of things because Kettle Moraine kind of skims the town right there. So you have some interesting topography. And it's really, and it's easy to get to. I mean, the US 45 freeway is right there. You're right along highways 33 and 144. There it is.
Zoom. Sounds like someone's speeding.
And they have a very fun German fest there.
They sure do. Andrew, we like to ask the behind the scenes folks that we interview if there were any challenges while filming that they recall. Is there anything particular about the West Bend production we put together that gave you a headache?
You know, nothing really sticks out. Sometimes it was a challenge traveling with Brian and his direction skills, but that's the only thing I can think of.
You know,
something that listeners are very familiar with at this point.
It's been a recurring theme. It's been brought up in the past, his navigational skills or lack thereof.
But that's something that's very easily looked past. Other than that, it was pretty much smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wait, had you been to West Bend, first of all, prior to filming?
No, I had not. So the whole, I didn't know what to expect, kind of like you, but even at the Homegrown Music Festival, it seemed like it was kind of a younger crowd. It seemed to me kind of like an up-and-coming city. Like,
it actually, it had very youthful vibes. Even looking at all the businesses, like you said, at Tochi, it was like, wow, this is really fun and interesting and unexpected. And
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, Tochi ramen stuck out the most just because I've never really had ramen before. You know, in college, you have the cheap ramen. But other than that, so was really good.
Legitimate ramen.
I have friends in the city.
That's on my list.
They'll go 40, 50 miles to check that place out.
Really? I can see why after being there. Yeah, and Greg was awesome.
Not to mention, that guy just has a great voice.
Oh, he does.
When that came across my desk, I was like, wow, his voice is so deep.
Love it. Andrew, do you want to shout out your Instagram before we let you go here? Because you have the best Instagram.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's my name, just my name. It's at Andrew Natvig.
Yeah.
Check it out. Keep up with the cool projects he's a part of.
Yeah, and Boondock Nation and Discover Wisconsin. You're very talented, you know, in so many realms, but especially in the visual arts. So I love following whatever you're up to on the gram.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right,
man,
shall we?
I'm looking you up on Instagram right now.
Yeah, Eric, we got to connect.
See, I am making connections happen here.
N-A-T-I-G. There you are. All right.
Give
well,
him a
thank
like,
you for joining us, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Yeah.
Happy to have people in the virtual cabin again.
Yeah.
We will be back together soon in the real cabin.
Right. I look forward to that when we can finally all hang out together.
Us Yay. Too.
Ooh, been a while since we used that sound effect.
I know. Indeed.
I mean, that very real recording of the actual door.
Yeah. That's, I know. It was like a blast from the past right there.
They all close the door the exact same way, too.
So strange.
I'm so glad we had Andrew on. He is arguably, not even arguably, he is one of the most talented cinematographers slash editors slash producers, also known as a shredder, I've learned, that I've had the opportunity to work with. He just is knows his stuff.
Very passionate.
Very passionate. So visually artistic. And yeah, I think he does such a great job with all the stuff that
he touches. Very multifaceted.
He really is. Anywho. We are rounding out episode 17 of the Cabin Podcast. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review, 5 stars. And also consider sharing the cabin with other people. Really, if you know anyone who you think would enjoy our shenanigans on the Cabin Podcast, I beg you to drop a link in their Facebook inbox or in their actual email inbox. Or while you're having dinner with your mother-in-law next Tuesday, are we really doing that these days because we're quarantining? Okay, during your next Zoom call with your in-laws or whomever, let them know.
Just put the link out there. No context. Just spam it everywhere.
Everywhere. And then say something clickbaity like, oh my God, have you guys seen this?
You won't believe
you will
the second
not
beach.
Believe.
Hang on, you don't want to miss this.
Please help us market this podcast on our behalves. Thank you so much.
Anybody give us some feedback lately, Mariah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so Kyle in Omaha says, I live in Omaha, Nebraska now, and I'm getting ready to bring my girlfriend to the hometown. I had her listen to the episode on Fort Atkinson before we go. Ooh. Such great insight.
Thanks, Kyle. And they do call it Fort.
They do call it Fort.
I hope we did it justice.
I know, and I hope your girlfriend loves Wisconsin, specifically Fort
Omaha
Atkinson.
Steaks.
How could she not?
Right, how could it not?
We'll trade some Omaha steaks for some cheese curds.
Yeah, well, that's a good trade right there.
Ooh.
Right? All right, well, as Mariah said, we're wrapping up episode 17. You know what that means, kids? Episode 18 is next week. We're going full adult, and we'll be talking about some of our favorite kid-friendly trip ideas.
That was really well done, Eric. Proud.
Well done.
I'm so clever when I don't point it out. Making sure that we're highlighting some spots where you can safely maintain some social distance as many stay-at-home orders have ended. Our behind-the-scenes segment is going to be a good one because it's all about one of the most visited places in the state, talking about Door County. And we were mentioning there are a lot of beaches up there, too. We'll talk more about Door County and some of the incredible things there are to do there in the next episode.
Nice. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave, Audio Dave Janice. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com, and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Ooh, aquaculture.
Aquaculture, which is similar to agriculture, is the cultivation of fish or other aquatic beings and plants under controlled conditions.
We've got 56 ponds on the farm here, located on 80 acres, all spring-fed water coming from artesian wells, wells that we're pumping into natural springs that are found throughout.
Wisconsin is home to more than 2,400 fish farms. The largest trout fish farm is the 80-acre Rushing Waters Fisheries, who feed their fish a special diet that includes soybeans.
Our manufactured food right here, this is the trout chow, a floating diet high in fat and protein. This is very good. So the trout, they are, as you know, they're carnivorous. So there's fish meal, fish oil, and then a lot of soybean.
Rushing Waters has been raising rainbow trout since the 1940s. It's open year-round and has 56 artesian spring water ponds for raising high-quality trout for consumers and restaurants.
We are growing all of our trout right on site here. From egg all the way to harvest, we have on-site processing, smokehouse, we do value-added. Everything we grow here is for food, for human consumption, and we've been doing it here since 1994.
Most farm-raised trout can easily digest soy meal, which helps the fish more efficiently transform that protein into body weight. Because the soybean meal is so consistent, it allows Rushing Waters Fishery to supply consumers and chefs with high-quality trout.
We buy probably one of the most expensive diets on the market, and what that allows us to do is get a better FCR, or feed conversion ratio. And that's the amount of feed we give to our trout to grow a trout. And right now, with using these great diets that are high in soybean and fish meal, we can also lower phosphorus in our discharge.
And now you know your Wisconsin.